الرحمن الرحيم. تمنى مدة توسيه جمال مصطفى ديكون إمام الأنبياء ديكون حبيبي كبريا ديكون وجن كدم قدم سي صباح نبي روشني باي وجن كدم قدم سي صباح نبي روشني باي منور كر ليا جسني فضا ورهن وما ديكون منور كر ليا جسني فضا ورهن وما ديكون تمنى مدة سيه جمال مصطفى ديكون إمام الأنبياء ديكون حبيبي كبريا ديكون وجن كي بركتو سي أبر وبارا روي عالم پر وجن كي بركتو سي أبر وبارا روي عالم پر تمنى قلب مضطر كي ودر ببها ديكون تمنى قلب مضطر كي ودر ببها ديكون تمنى مدتو سيه جمال مصطفى ديكون إمام الأنبياء ديكون حبيبي كبريا ديكون
جزاكم الله أحسن الجزاء. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. Most respected ulama and beloved students, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Once again, these are the last few moments, last few days before the completion of the iftar course. Let us share some advices and let us benefit from one another. This contact and this relationship, this bond that Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala has created in ta'aleem and ta'allum is a very special bond. It's a spiritual bond, and it is a bond that serves the aim and objective of our life. As the days come by and it is time for y'all to leave, I feel a very deep sense of sadness in me. And that is because I love each and every one of you. I love my students very dearly. And I regard every student of mine to be a means of sawab-e jariya for me. It is my heartfelt dua that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala accept every one of you for the khidmat of deen. And Allah tabarak wa ta'ala elevate your people's status. And may Allah tabarak wa ta'ala take a lot of work of deen from you and make your faith am and tam in the different parts of the world. beloved students, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala chose you to study Iftah. One is to study general knowledge, to study fiqh, Quran, hadith, that is most valuable. But to study Iftah is an extra ni'mat and bounty of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Hazrat Mufti Mahmood Hasan Gangohi Rahmatullah Alayhi used to state that when a person completes an Alim Fadil course, wo adhura Alim hai. He's half Alim. And then when he does his Iftah course, then he's a full Alim. Now just to elaborate on that, when you studied the Alim course, you did so many different kitabs on certain masail, so many different aqwals. You were presented with material. But how are you going to use the material and how are you going to navigate the material? How are you going to implement it? So often, students, after they qualify, they say, so which fatwa I must give? How much issue the ruling? You get the call of Imam Muhammad, you get the call of Imam Abu Yusuf, you get the call of Imam Abu Hanifa, sometimes Hassan ibn Ziyad, sometimes Imam Zufar, and then you'll get so many other aqwals. And there's so many things in your mind. How are you going to issue the ruling and what you are supposed to do? And it is in the Iftah course that you are able to take control of your knowledge, to understand it and to know what you're supposed to say and when you're supposed to say, how and when. Till now you only had material. But how to use that material is equally important, and that is what you learned in Iftah. And you could also regard it to be an acceptance of your dua, Allahumma inni as'aluka ilman nafi'ah. You made dua to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala repeatedly, Allah must make your ilm nafi', and when Allah chose you in this field, then it is also an indication of making your ilm more nafi' and beneficial. This does not mean that if a person is not a mufti, ilm is not nafi too. But when you study Iftah, you understand things more than what a general alim would know, and therefore your ilm will become more nafi and more beneficial. Thank Allah for this great ni'mat and bounty. And remember, behind every single person that is here, you are not alone. I always tell my students that there's something Allah liked in your parents or in your forefathers. Something good in them, and the barakat of that, Allah has put ilm-e-deen into your people's hearts. Thank Allah for this great ni'mat and bounty and appreciate it. Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, he stated in one place that the knowledge of an alim and the knowledge of a mufti, there's a difference. In the case of the mufti, a person will come to you when he's in dire need, trouble. He needed immediate answer. So the benefit of a mufti's fatwa is cash. On the spur of the moment, a person comes and asks you, you give it to him immediately. His knowledge is sellable. Immediately it is sent out. You are benefiting the people immediately. As opposed to a non-mufti, he's got a lot of knowledge. Very, very valuable. But that is that you will say it as and when you want. There's no cash deal in his knowledge as opposed to a cash deal in a mufti's knowledge. That is why this title that will be conferred on you, being a mufti, It is, on one side, a huge responsibility, and on the other side, it is also a basharat. You need to work hard. In these past 2 years, you made so much of effort in answering fatawa, making mutala. You've exerted yourself. And now is the time you need to capture what you have worked behind. Don't lose it. Especially writing fatawa. It takes a long while to get grips with. You also, sometimes I would send you away 5 times, 10 times, some of them, I don't know how many times. And the whole idea is to get deep into you and to get the best out of you. And subhanallah, I've noticed in all my years of training students that some students were not even able to write in the beginning, and by the end, subhanallah, were able to write very, very well. This is the barakat of ilm-e-deen and the barakat of this particular training. And I urge you that since you have already started in the field of fatawa, continue with it. And the more you do, the more you're sharpening it. You sharpen your skills. How to write, what to write, how to say. This is a very important field of khidmat, so make sure that you remain with that with istiqamat. Make it a point that every single day you will answer at least one fatwa or two fatwas. Yes, if you're running a Darul Ifta, it's your responsibility, you'll have to answer. Then the burden is on you, you have to do it. But if you're not in a Darul Ifta, still too, attach yourself continuously with the Ask Imam website, with our Darul Ifta. We have questions all the time, alhamdulillah. Whenever you want something, question, come and ask us, we'll give it to you. And how many you want, we'll give it to you. Make an effort, answer every single day. And every fatwa that goes out, so many people in the world will be benefiting. So many people will be empowering their ilm in deen. Become a great sawab jariyah for you. إِذَا مَاتَ إِبْنُ عَادَمٍ إِنْ قَطَعَ عَمَلُهُ إِلَّا مِنْ ثَلَاثٍ. When you pass away, our focus must be, what am I going to get after my death? And whilst you are living in this world, you're writing a fatwa, you must condition your mind as though I'm already in the qabr. What if I was in the qabr, I would regret, had I had life, I would have done this, I would have done that. So you are on the back of the earth, do it. Exert yourself. And prepare your provision for when you're in the qabr and in the akhirat. And don't underestimate the ajr and the reward for issuing a fatwa. It's very easy to read 2 rakat namaz. Very easy to read, make zikr. Very easy to make some tilawat. I'm not saying you mustn't do it. Do it. We need that. But at the same time, that is some comfort, enjoyment you get. Yeah, you have to exert yourself. One question come. You have to ting, ting, ting. Sometimes you have to take Panado. And what worse is, after you give the answer, and then you get rejected. And getting rejected one time is fine. Repeatedly rejected. And then after that, that has been compensated when you finally get the answer and see the happiness you get out of it. That is the happiness in the dunya. What about the happiness in the akhirat and the sawab you will get? Hadhrat Mufti Kifayatullah Sahab, his Kifayatul Mufti is there in the library. He was a great Zabardast Mufti. And you can see that his fatawa, how comprehensive, how jami is. He was involved in the field of fatawa day in, day out. Walking on the street, somebody will ask him questions, he'll sit down, write a fatwa. Simple person, but people have so much of confidence and full time dedicated in the field of fatawa, day in, day out. Until when the last moment of his life came, he was lying down the bed, istiftah came to him, it was put in his hand, the istiftah is reading it, Malakul Maut came and took his life away, that sawal fell on his chest and he passed away. Kitna behtareen maut. What a beautiful death. make dua, Allah grant us that kind of khatma. Always engage in the field of fatawa, engage in serving the deen of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And actually, this field is such that the more deeper you get into it, you get so used, you become part and parcel of your system, you'll become addicted to it. Now, a time will come in your life, if you don't issue a fatwa, you'll feel abnormal. That's what you're supposed to be. Allah accept every one of you. The second lesson I want to share with you, there's a statement, قَيُّدُ الْعِلْمَ بِالْكِتَابَ. This is very important in the field of fatawa. In the first year you read the 10 volumes of Asrul Fatawa, thousands of pages. Most of you have completed it, some of you have a few volumes have left out. Second year, 25 or 23, depending on different editions of Fatawa Mahmudiyah. Some of you have completed it, some of you got few volumes still left over. But you have already paged to thousands of pages and you have seen how many thousands of fatawa. And you read it, everything won't be in your mind at that time, but when the need arises, immediately it will click your mind, yeah, I recall this masla was there, that masla was there. At the time of the need, you will find it. But sometimes there are certain masail that if you have a separate book, just write down or note it that this masla is where, so that when the need arises, you'll immediately find it. Especially when it comes to common related masail, talaq related masail, or inheritance, certain masail that are unique juz'iyat we have found. So write it down and record it. You don't know when you'll need it in life. And apart from that, the procedure that we adopt, every student is supposed to be writing 300 fatwas. Alhamdulillah, most of them have finished it, despite it being a COVID year, but the fadal and grace of Allah, most of the students completed the 300 fatwa. Some of them, probably 20, 30 years still left behind. I hope it will be done, and it will be done, inshallah, and I won't leave you until it is done. So, but collectively, if you say 23 students finishing, okay, let's go by 20. Over a period of 2 years, how many fatwa you read, or you're supposed to be reading? That every day reviewing every student fatawa. So collectively added at least 6,000 fatawa, just alone on that, the fatawa that I answered here from the Darul Iftah. Now, the point is that when you come across any particular fatwa, one is that how you wrote, one is that others also wrote, so you capture your time. You want to be more efficient. Then you came across some unique fatwa, something, either file it away, keep it away, or record it somewhere so that whenever the time arises, then you know that you can easily refer to it and you can record it also. This was also among the ma'mulat of Hazrat Maulana Shabri Thanvi Rahmatullah. He states, and I'll read that actual advice he gives. He says, Ek aham hidayat. One important guidance. Farmaya ke jab main tasneef ka kaam karta tha, especially when you're writing. Now the common thing is, so that he's writing kitab, he was also in the field of fatawa, but we are sometimes in the field of fatawa as well, and we also sometimes we need to write articles, or maybe sometimes you need to give a discourse, you need to give a bayan somewhere, and some important points come. So to aadat ye thi ke har waqt kaagaz pencil mere saath rehte the. All the time, pencil paper by you. قَيُّدُ الْعِلْمَ بِالْكِتَابَةِ. However, what may happen? You remembered something at that time and point. You want to write it down. You remembered it then, but it's such an important point, one day later you may just forget. When you get some valuable worldly item, you keep it away safely. You know how valuable it is. You'll take out your time and you'll do that. The knowledge and the information or the thought that Allah puts into your mind, that is probably more valuable than a precious pearl. Value it and appreciate it. He says, utte baithte koi mazmoon yaad aa gaya to fauran likh leta hu. standing, sitting, whenever I think of anything, I immediately write it down. And look at this. Now this shows what mindset. Oh, you know, they say that in talim and talum orna bichona ho. Day in, day out, this must be your work. You're looking for a masla before sleeping? Think about the masla. Not that you forget the du'as of sleeping, but think of the masla. You wake up in the middle of the night, then masla must make you pareshan. That what could be the answer of that? You wake up in the morning, first thing you think about that. It's very refreshing actually. Really, it is refreshing. So, he says, Adi raat ko koi cheez yaad aati thi, to likh kar sota tha. That shows the commitment, the dedication. Middle of the night, he's thinking about something. He found something. It came from Allah. Then, record it. Kyunke baad auqaat mazmoon zehen se ghaib ho jata hai. Phir sochne se bhi nahi aata. And this means it was ilham. It is ilham. It's inspiration. And don't underestimate your heart and your mind, because that could also become a mahal of inspiration from Allah. So bear this in mind. Very, very important advice, and take note of that. Third advice. In the field of fatawa, you can have two attitudes. Proactive or reactive. Proactive or reactive. Generally our ulama are reactive. We're supposed to be proactive. And the dalil of it being proactive, your tit from kuduri. Everywhere the word come in kana hada fahuwa hada. In kana hada fahuwa hada. Our fuqaha were proactive. Many masail they mentioned that was not even existing. But they thought about it ahead of time and they applied their mind and they canvassed the possible solution for that particular masala. Have a proactive attitude in the field of fatawa, don't be reactive. When you know a certain masala is coming, prepare ahead of time. Ramadan is coming. Did you read any risala of Ramadan? Are you going to wait for Ramadan? Now, somebody going to ask Musab, if you put eardrops in your ears, so does the wuzu break? Or your roza break? Now you'll know, you'll say, no, the master in Nuriza, but the atibba are saying like this. Now is that's a time to issue the fatwa, or you have researched on it ahead of time. Somebody will ask your masla, then you put eye drops. Did the roza break? Then they want the masla cash, and you gain credit. Be proactive. Qurbani time, the masail come. Before that, there's so many risalas, all our fatawas. Please prepare yourself ahead of time. Prepare yourself for the masail of Taraweeh. Prepare yourself on different issues. Have a proactive attitude. Condition your mind. Because, see, our businessman, before Christmas, he fills his shop up. It's not that on the night of the eve of Christmas he fill the shop. Nobody will buy anything. People do shopping ahead of time. They prepare ahead of time, but we are the ones, last we come, and we think that we're going to sell our goods. We need to be proactive. And besides that, when it comes to new masail, don't wait for the people to come to you. Go to the people. Find out from them. This COVID-19 masail, vaccine masail, this is something that we're supposed to have read long time ago. And I've been also doing the reading on it for a long time ago. It's not that I only started reading now. And then when the doctors came and presented the issue, we had a general idea of what it is. And we knew what to say, what not to say. And on both views we have seen. So be proactive on the issue so that when the challenge comes, you are able to fulfill the need on the time. The Ummah needed a vaccine fatwa, we gave the vaccine fatwa. Now imagine, now the Ummah needs a vaccine fatwa, and up till now they're deliberating, ke uske andar mein fetus hai ya kya hai? Is there anything wrong inside? And then you're looking for some kind of conspiracy. By that time you're going to unfold that conspiracy, but thousands of people will be dead, that sickness will come and go away, you never fulfill the taqada of the Ummah. Be proactive. Even when it comes to masail of economics, Islamic finance, Hazrat Maulana Shafi Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali says that I always wanted to go and find out from people of different professions that how they act and how they deal, so that I understand everything and I can give guidance to people. But he says, unfortunately, I didn't have anybody to help and assist me in that, because it's not an easy task to go and meet up with people in a different field of muamalat and business and ask them details and find out again until you come to a conclusion. It's very time consuming. But he said, whatever few little masail he collected is called Hawadithul Fatawa. I want to share that with you. And this is very, very important. This is what we should do, proactive attitude. Maulana Shafi Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali had that. He says, Ahle ilm wa arbab fatawa ke zimmedari. Maine ye chaha tha ke jo nayi surat muamalat bay wa shira wa digar zarai maash ki is zamane mein paida ho gayi hai. All new issues that have come up, unke jawad wa adam jawad ke mutalliq shar ahkam mudawwan kar diye jaye. Because when the time when you come, people will ask you and say, no, I'm going to make the haqeeq now. You should have prepared the tahqiq ahead of time and guide the people when they need the guidance. Aur is majmu'e ka naam bhi maine Hawadithul Fatawa tajweez kar diya. In fatawa ke tadween ke liye maine surat tajweez ki thi ke har qisam ke ahle muamla apne apne muamlaat ki surate likh kar mere paas bheje. Masalan tajir tijarat ki surate, ahle zaraat zaraat ki surate. A businessman will explain his different business practices. A farmer, agriculture, he will explain his different dealings. Mulazimin, mulazamat ki surate. Employees, they will explain the different angle, the dimensions of employment. Chunanche, maine apne aam bayanat mein bhi aur khas guftagu ke mauke par bhi usko zahir kiya aur waade bhi liye. Lekin afsos ke kisi ne meri madad na ki, phir bhi maine bator khud hi ni sawalat mausool hone par likhe jo Hawadith ul Fatawa ke naam se shai bhi ho chuke, lekin wo bahut chota sa majmua hai jo zaruriyat ke liye kafi nahi, magar uske mutale se kam az kam ye to maloom ho jata hai ke muamalat ki jitni nayi surate hai un sab ke ahkam fuqaha ke kalam mein maujood hai. And in fact, you all be studying Islamic finance and you'll saw the amazing part, the qudrat of Allah Ta'ala. You'll see the mu'jiza of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that the answers to new contemporary issues, we can actually direct it to the hadith of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And therefore, we understand from this that how Maulana had a proactive attitude. Prepare yourself ahead of time. And this comes with little self-effort, with little sacrifice and with little qurbani. Allah Ta'ala grant us tawfiq and hidayat to understand the zimmedari of the field of fatawa and regard it to be a great act of ibadat. Allah grant us tawfiq, inshallah. Let us continue with this al-hilatun najiza. Yesterday we discussed Innin. Husband being important and as a grounds of Faskhun Nikah. Another ground for Faskhun Nikah is Junoon. Insanity. I mentioned to you all yesterday the purpose of nikah is sukoon, peace, happiness, contentment. Litaskunu ilayha. The spouses can only have sukoon in their lives if the husband is stable minded and the wife is stable minded. If one of the two spouses are unstable in the mind, then forget sukoon, they will be the causes of bringing instability in a marriage and that bringing grief and depression in a marriage. If the husband is mentally unstable, if he's insane, it defeats the purpose of a nikah. And therefore, it becomes a grounds for a woman to claim and to apply to come out of the marriage. In the Ahnaf, only Imam Muhammad rahmatullah alayhi is of the view that junoon is a ground for fasl nikah. According to Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Abu Yusuf rahmatullah alayhi, junoon insanity is not a ground for fasl nikah. But according to Imam Muhammad rahmatullah alayhi and Aimmah Salatha, Imam Shafi, Imam Malik, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahumullah, they all believe that junoon is a ground for fasl nikah because it defeats the maqsad of the nikah. You all must have read in the kitabs thus far, there are two types of junoon. One is junoon hadis. And the other one is junoon mutbaq. The fuqaha use these two words. Junoon hadis, junoon mutbaq. And both these words are used by Imam Muhammad rahmatullah alayhi, one in Mabsut and one in Kitab al-Athar. So Hadha Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi, he reconciles between them two. And he says that when a person is insane, to what extent should his insanity be for the woman having ground to annul the marriage? So in one place he says, لا تطيق معه المقام. She's unable to stay with him. And another interpretation, يخاف عليه قتله. He's so insane. He doesn't know what he's doing, and there's a fear that he may even kill his spouse. So putting both together, Mawlana Shafi Thanvi rahmatullah says that the junoon is such that it is impossible for the woman to stay with him, and she actually fears her life. Now, the discussion goes on further on a technical level. Junoon e hadis, junoon e mutbaq. And you'll observe here in the kitab that there's different ways of explaining junoon e hadis, junoon e mutbaq. What is hadis? What is mutbaq? Some fuqaha mention, use two words for that. Ajil with a hamza and ajil. Junoon hadith, they say, they refer it to be something ajil. And junoon mutbaq, ajil. Or junoon hadith, ghair mustawab. And junoon mutbaq, mustawab. In other words, all the time it's with him. Or sometimes they use the word that asli and arzi. So different words of interpreting there. Now, the reason for explaining that is this. You see that in principle the fuqaha say that if a person is junoon mutbaq, all the time insane, written off, then in that case, if the woman have to apply for fasl nikah, then it's clear to the qazi that he's been insane all the time for a very long time. There's no possibility of him making ilaj. So there won't be any ta'ajil given to him, and immediately he'll make fasl of the nikah. But junoon hadis, in other words, that he's not insane all the time, or it just came upon him. And sometimes it may just happen. Sometimes people go to certain pressure in life that they lose their mind. Psychological situations. Or a person could be having a different type of mental imbalances. So sometimes it is temporary, sometimes it is not permanent. So under that situation, Maulana Shafi Thanvi Rahmatullah says that we should make ihtiyat in this. And in all cases, whether it is junoon-e mutbaq or junoon-e hadith, ihtiyat is in both cases. If a woman claims to a qazi that my husband is insane, without going into the issue that it is hadith or mutbaq, in all cases the qazi should give 1 year grace, like how we give 1 year grace in the case of inneen, for him to make ilaj, to cure himself. And then, after 1 year, the same procedure will happen like in the case of the inneen. But same the conditions. The condition is that she got married to the person, she didn't know that he's got a mental instability. Number one. If she knew that he had got a mental instability, despite that, with all information, she went into the marriage, now she can't claim for fasl nikah. Second, maybe she didn't know, but when she came to know about it, then she did not express happiness and contentment, and she did not forfeit the haqq and right. She forfeited the haqq and right of coming out of the marriage. Third condition, that she knew the husband is insane. She didn't know before. Now she come to know. But if she had conjugal relationship, she allowed tamakkun of the husband over her, then in that case also she forfeit the haqq of fasqul nikah. And the fourth condition is that when 1 year has been given, and upon 1 year the person is still same, after investigating the qadi convinced that there's no difference in the person's life, he will make tafriq. But he'll make tafriq, like in the case of the inneen, the wife will have to choose first in that same majlis, like in the case of the inneen. Then there's another discussion here, whether she'll be entitled to full mihr or not. If there was khalwat sahiha, there'll be full mihr. And if there's no khalwat sahiha, then there won't be full mihr. Yes, of course, sometimes from the practical point of view. Now, we don't look at a masla just like this. This masla, as it is done here in the kitab, easier said than done. It's not just like, you know, a qazi sahib is sitting there and one wife is claiming her husband is majnoon, and finish, the qazi sahib is going to look. There's so many other implications, ramifications on this particular issue. When a person is mentally unstable, is he going to be able to work? Is he going to be able to earn an income? He won't be able to do all that. So then there'll be another overarching principle, and that is adam nafqa. The husband is unable to provide for the wife. And adam nafqa is also a cause of fasqul nikah. So all those things will be considered. But at the ending, Hazrat Maulana Shafi Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayhi states that sometimes it becomes very difficult, you know, to make out whether it is junoon-e hadith, junoon-e mutbaq, and sometimes the mental situations are such that it's very, especially nowadays, the different type of mental instabilities that are present, it was unlike the past. Now, you'll get a person that they call it a grief, depression, but whether it is a type of a junoon or type of insanity, mental instability, what's the haqiqat and the reality of it, more and more things have been uncovered today that was not discussed in the past. And we also have to look at it from the medical point of view. I had a case. I think it was last year. Where one person was taking some medication for grief and depression, and according to what the father explained to me, like bipolar or schizophrenic, whatever the case may be. Now we have to look at all those new type of sicknesses in the light of what the fuqaha mentioned about junoon. So he was taking a medication that was 5 milligrams. Something happened, he left the house. He did not consult with his doctor. He went to another doctor of his choice. Now, people of this, they have a lot of mental instabilities, and they go do things. They are bichara mazur. No fault of theirs. It is just that they are mazur and they go do these kind of things. So he went to another doctor, gave his version of it. The doctor told him, okay, the same medicine, take 10 milligrams. Now, from 5 milligrams, you up the dose, you went to 10 milligrams. The effect of that was when he came home, he issued his wife 3 talaqs. Now the father came up to me, the family came up to me and asked me, is the 3 talaqs valid? Obviously, in a normal situation, three talaqs are valid. But the situation now, you have to look at it within the context. That was the three talaqs valid or not? Was the person insane or not insane? In view of the medication that he has taken, it took me a lot of time before I came to a conclusion. I first got hold of his doctor and asked his doctor that this is your patient. I spoke to him in confidence. Obviously, they don't divulge information, but because they wanted a fatwa, so the doctor, I had to speak to him in confidence, and I told him, this is your patient, this is the medication he's taken, and this is what he has done. So he said he could never have been taken more than 5 milligrams. It would have been, it would be disastrous for him, because they know him, they knew his history. So I said, what would happen if he were taken more? You say, well, in terms of law, right, he would be written as a person that insane. I say, if the matter have to go to a court or any other issue in terms of law, how it will be regarded? They say that he'll be regarded to be an insane person. Then I contacted the other doctor who prescribed for him the 10 milligrams. See, he didn't know that he's been taken from another doctor medicine, and he, in good faith, gave him this prescription of 10 milligrams. And that was the effect of it. Now, I needed, for me, the most thing was to determine whether the three talaqs are valid or not valid. And when I looked at it within the particular, I say, in that situation, as you have seen him, in terms of law, how would that person be regarded? He said, no, he would be regarded to be a majnoon person. Now, it became easy for me to issue the talaq. He said, the three talaq did not take place. Brought relief to a family. It's not a good thing to hear, but on the other side, imagine I would have said the three talaqs are valid too. So these are many, many things to consider. You all did a masla that if a person is extremely angry, and you'll know Allama Shami has mentioned about 70 categories of junoon. And one of the categories that lead to junoon is extreme anger. And generally, many fatawa, you all saw the three categories that came up. That if a person issued his wife in a state of anger, generally a person would be in a state of anger would issue his talaq. Otherwise, nobody may smiling happily give his wife talaq. But in a general situation, he would be giving his wife talaq. So he's in his mental senses. The other is that a person is so angry he lost himself completely, he doesn't know. And then he issued his wife three talaqs. And then after that, when you ask him now, he'll tell you that I didn't know what happened. So the test is, you ask him, that at the time when you were gave the talaq, do you remember what happened around? Do you know what happened? Do you know what he said? If the person said, no, I know what he said, but I was very angry, that means he was still, his mental faculty was there. The talaq will take place. But if you know, I just don't know, I lost my memory completely, I don't know anything about it. So that means there's a very high level of junoon, and in that case, the talaq that was given will be invalid. So these are many, many masail to consider. So here in this fasqhun nikah, this is also one of the grounds of relieving a woman. Obviously, you've got to take into consideration here the medical angle as well. We are not in the medical field. And I must advise you one thing. Stay in your field. You're an alim. You study the Quran, you study the hadith, you study the fiqh. You don't give somebody medical advice because you're not an expert in medical advice. How would you like if a doctor have to tell you some intricate masail of fiqh? You'll say, no, he's missing our point, he's not educated. You have the right to tell him that he's not educated in the medical, in the field of Quran and hadith. Does he not have the right to tell you that you're not educated in their medicine? So, all the time, you remain in your domain. There's a jurisdiction, you remain in that jurisdiction. Don't trespass your jurisdiction, you're going to err in that. Who are the experts in a particular field? You refer to them. Didn't you all do in Kitab al-Sawm about masla of the ihlil? Roza will break, roza won't break. What Sahib Hidayah mentioned? Hada laysa min bab al-fiqh, walakin min bab al-tibb. The medical related issue, not a fiqh related issue. So when it comes to medical related issues, you don't claim to be an expert and become a self-expert and issue a ruling on that. You make sure you consult appropriate people. Many people in the past also, when they trespassed the domain, then they made a big mess out of it. A case in point, the previous to previous president of South Africa, Thabo Mbeki, before this, Nasir Ramaphosa, before him was Jacob Zuma, and then after it was Thabo Mbeki. The issue came about the AIDS. And he came out very strongly. He opposed AIDS and said that AIDS is spread because of malnutrition. And the medical fraternity went behind him. Yeah, you're the president, you know how to run the country. But why are you telling us, giving advice on the medical field? That's not your domain. And it became very badnam. He got flack from the international world on that. We learned a lesson. You also want flack from the international world? Pass the domain of Kitab of Fiqh and see what happens. Confine yourself to what you are. That is what you call academic truthfulness and honesty. Yes, consult with appropriate people, then apply your laws of fiqh in coming to a conclusion. Chalo.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Hukm zawja majnoon. Sawalat. Kya zawja majnoon ko shara'an ye haq hasil hai ki tafriq ka mutalba kare aur majnoon ki zawjiyat se nikal jaye? Agar hai, to iska kya surat hai aur kya sharaait hai? Tafriq ke baad mehr aur iddat ka kya hukm hai? Zawja majnoon ke liye khiyar-e fasl. Al-jawab. عبارت مذکورہ سے معلوم ہوا کہ شیخین کے نزدیک تو جنون شوہر کے وجہ سے عورت کو فسخ نکاح کا اختیار حاصل نہیں، لیکن امام محمد رحمۃ اللہ علیہ کے نزدیک اس کو یہ حق حاصل ہے کہ قاضی کے یہاں درخواست دے کر تفریق کا مطالبہ کرے اور اپنے آپ کو مجنون کی زوجیت سے علیحدہ کرا لے، بشرطے کہ جنون اس درجہ کا ہو کہ اس کے ساتھ رہنا قدرت سے خارج ہو، مثلاً اس سے قتل کا اندیشہ ہو.
This is the main point, that they can become very violent. Then it becomes difficult. جی.
جنون موجب تفریق کی حد. فائدہ. اصل اس بارے میں یہ ہے کہ وہ جنون جس کی وجہ سے عورت کو امام محمد رحمت اللہ علیہ کے نزدیک خیار فسخ حاصل ہو سکتا ہے، اس کی حد بیان کرنے میں مختلف الفاظ مذکور ہیں. مقصود کے الفاظ یہ ہیں لا تطیق المقام معه، اور کتاب الآثار میں یقاف علیہ قتلہ مذکور ہیں. ان دونوں میں تطبیق کی صورت یہ ہو سکتی ہے کہ جو مجنون ایذا پہنچایا کرتا ہو، اس کے متعلق عادت غالب سے اکثر یہ بھی اندیشہ ہو جاتا ہے کہ شاید قتل کر بیٹھے. خلاصہ یہ ہوا کہ جس مجنون سے ناقابل برداشت ایذا پہنچتی ہو، اس کا یہ حکم ہے، واللہ اعلم. اور ائمہ ثلاثہ یعنی امام مالک و شافعی و احمد بن محمد رحمۃ اللہ علیہم کے نزدیک بھی جنون وغیرہ کی وجہ سے خیار فسخ عورت کو حاصل ہے، اور فتاوی عالمگیری میں حادی قدسی سے امام محمد رحمۃ اللہ علیہ کے قول کو اختیار کرنا نقل کیا ہے. ونیز ان کے قول میں یہ تفصیل نقل کی ہے کہ اگر مجنون حادث ہے تو حاکم اس مجنون کو اور اس کے اولیاء کو انین کی طرح سال بھر علاج کرنے کے لیے مہلت دیں، اس عرصے میں اگر تندرست نہ ہو تو پھر عورت کو اختیار دے دیں کہ اس کے نکاح میں رہے یا فرقت اختیار کر لے، جیسا کہ انین کے بیان میں مفصل گزرا، اس کو دیکھنا ضروری ہے. اور اگر جنون مطبق ہے تو معاملہ کی پوری تحقیق کرنے کے بعد بلا تاجیل و تاخیر عورت کو اختیار دے دیا جائے، لیکن چونکہ جنون حادث کی تفسیر نہ اس جگہ لکھی ہے اور نہ کہیں دوسرے مواقع میں دستیاب.
What's the حقیقت, what's the reality of جنون حادث? There's different words interpreting that. So in this issue of قضاء, you don't want to take a chance.
لیکن چونکہ جنون حادث کی تفسیر نہ اس جگہ لکھی ہے اور نہ کہیں دوسرے مواقع میں دستیاب ہوئی، جس کی وجہ سے اس کے مقابلے میں مطبق کی تفسیر بھی پوری طرح واضح نہیں ہو سکتی، اور دوسرے مواد میں جو مطبق کی تفسیر بمقابلہ غیر مطبق لکھی ہوئی ہے، اس کو محض قیاس سے اس جگہ جاری کرنا احتیاط کے خلاف ہے. مثلا ہدایہ آخرین میں باب و عزل الوکیل میں جنون کی تفسیر مطبق و غیر مطبق کے لفظ سے کرنے کے بعد دونوں لفظوں کی تفسیر ہمارے ائمہ ثلاثہ سے نقل کی، اور اس کی شرح کفایہ میں اسی کو آجل و عاجل کے الفاظ سے لکھا ہے، اور ہدایہ کتاب و صوم باب و منمانی دفع رمضان میں اسی کو جنون مستوعب و غیر مستوعب کے لفظ سے تعبیر کیا ہے، اور اسی باب کے آخر میں جنون کی ایک دوسری تقسیم کی ہے، اصلی و عارضی. اس لیے عبارت عالمگیری مذکورہ بالا میں جو جنون حادث اور اس کے مقابلے میں مطبق مذکور ہے، اس میں احتمالات پیدا ہو گئے کہ یہ حادث بمعنی العارض ہے، کما هو مدلول مادۃ الحدوث، اور اس کے مقابلہ میں مطبق بمعنی الاصلی ہے، یا حادث بمعنی عاجل یا غیر مستوعب ہے، اور اس کے مقابلے میں مطبق بمعنی عاجل یا مستوعب ہے، جس کی تفسیر ہدایہ میں امام محمد رحمۃ اللہ علیہ کے نزدیک ایک سال کے جنون سے کی گئی ہے، اور کتاب الحج میں امام محمد رحمۃ اللہ علیہ نے جنون مطبق کو اس جنون کے مقابلے میں استعمال کیا ہے جس میں افاقہ ہو جاتا ہے, جس سے معلوم ہوتا ہے کہ ان کے نزدیک مطبق وہ جنون ہے جس میں افاقہ نہ ہوتا ہو. لیکن کتاب مذکور میں بھی لفظ حادث موجود نہیں جس سے مطبق و حادث کی تفسیر ایک دوسرے کے مقابلے میں معلوم ہو جائے. غرض حادث اور مطبق کی تفسیر پورے طور سے واضح اور متعین نہیں ہو سکی. اس لیے احتیاط اس میں ہے کہ اس تفصیل سے قطع نظر کر کے ہر حال
میں, کی ورڈ ہر حال میں, the moment the claim the wife says my husband is insane, then without going into effect that it is mustawab ghair mustawab, immediately give 1 year's grace. جی
اس لیے احتیاط اسی میں ہے کہ اس تفصیل سے قطع نظر کر کے ہر حال میں سال بھر کی مہلت دی جائے اور اس کے بعد حکم کیا جائے, بالخصوص جب کہ فیصلہ بھی قاضی شرعی کی عدالت میں نہ ہو بلکہ جماعت المسلمین کا فیصلہ بنابر.
Sometimes when a woman will claim that her husband is mad, it's not that he's mad, because he's very angry, so she call him mad.
بالخصوص جب کہ فیصلہ بھی قاضی شرعی کی عدالت میں نہ ہو بلکہ جماعت المسلمین کا فیصلہ بنابر مذہب مالکیہ لیا جائے, تو مہلت وغیرہ بھی ان کے مذہب کے موافق دینا چاہیے. اور ان کا مذہب یہ ہے کہ جنون مطبق و جنون افاقہ کا ایک ہی حکم ہے, یعنی دونوں صورتوں میں ایک سال کی مہلت دی جاتی ہے, جیسا کہ فتاوی مالکیہ عربیہ میں جو اس رسالہ کے اخیر میں ملحق ہے. علامہ صالح تونسی مدرسہ مدرس مسجد نبوی مدینہ طیبہ کے فتویٰ کی 19th روایت میں بحوالہ تحفہ مذکور ہے.
جی carry on. جی
دعوی اور تفریق کی صورت,
don't forget, make sure you read the Arabic عبارت. جی
دعوی اور تفریق کی صورت, صورت تفریق یہ ہے کہ زوجہ مجنون قاضی کی عدالت میں درخواست دیں اور خاوند کا خطرناک مجنون ہونا ثابت کریں. قاضی واقعہ کی تحقیق کر کے اگر صحیح ثابت ہو تو مجنون کو علاج کے لیے ایک سال کی مہلت دے دیں, اور بعد اختتام سال اگر زوجہ
جماعت المسلمین come to a judiciary, we're going to ask for medical certificates, we're going to check up from the medical point of view. جی
اور بعد اختتام سال اگر زوجہ پھر درخواست کرے اور شوہر کا مرض جنون ہنوز موجود ہو تو عورت کو اختیار دے دیا جائے. اس پر اگر عورت اسی مجلس تخیر میں فرقت طلب کرے تو قاضی تفریق کر دے, اور یہ تفریق قاضی نکاح کو بالکل رد کر دینا ہے.
Now, is this طلاق or is this فسخ? So, حضرت اشرف تعالیٰ رحمت احتیاط is that just make it طلاق. جی
اور یہ تفریق قاضی نکاح,
and yeah, you can take a chance simply because if you know the husband is majnoon, he won't make rajat. چلو Otherwise, it'll defeat the purpose. جی
اور یہ تفریق قاضی نکاح کو بالکل رد کر دینا ہے, یعنی نکاح کا عدم متصور ہوگا, جیسا کہ کتاب الآثار و مبسوط سرخسی میں رد کا لفظ موجود ہے اور فتح القدیر وغیرہ میں فسق کا لفظ موجود ہے. تفریق بالجنون کی شرائط, اور جو شرائط اختیار زوج عینین کے لیے ہیں اور اس سے پہلے مفصل گزر چکی ہیں, ان میں سے اکثر شرائط اختیار زوجہ مجنون کے لیے بھی ہیں جن کا اجمال یہ ہے. الف, نکاح سے پہلے عورت کو خاوند کے مجنون ہونے کا علم نہ,
same like the situation of عنین. جی
با, نکاح کے بعد علم ہونے پر رضا کی تصدیق نہ کی ہو.
جی
جب مہلت کا سال گزر جانے کے بعد دوبارہ درخواست پر قاضی عورت کو اختیار دے تو عورت اسی مجلس میں فرقت اختیار کر لے. اگر مجلس برخاست ہو گئی یا عورت خود یا کسی کے اٹھانے سے کھڑی ہو گئی تو اختیار نہ رہے گا. دال, زوجہ مجنون کے لیے ایک شرط یہ بھی ہے کہ جنون موجب للفسق علم ہو جانے کے بعد اپنے اختیار سے عورت نے جماع یا دوائی کا موقع نہ دیا ہو.
Similar one to the عنین. جی
ہاں, زوجہ عنین کی طرح زوجہ مجنون بھی اپنے خاوند سے علیحدہ ہونے میں خود مختار نہیں, بلکہ قضاء قاضی شرط ہے, اور جس جگہ قاضی موجود نہیں وہاں شرعی پنچایت قائم مقام قاضی کے ہوگی, جیسا کہ مقدمہ میں گزر چکا ہے, ملاحظہ فرمایا جائے.
This aspect that there is a weakness in the husband, despite that the wife has intercourse with the husband, it shows that she's got overwhelming love and muhabbat for him. Not so long ago we dealt with one particular case, just last year. It was a case of shiqaq. And 2 or 3 times we had that meeting, and we almost came to a conclusion that there's definitely shiqaq, because all the signs of shiqaq were there. Husband threw a curveball at us. You know, she's claiming shiqaq. We live in separate homes, we live in separate this thing, but the other day she came and we had intercourse. So the most she there was a voluntary intercourse, and she had given excess of herself to him. Immediately, the whole thing of shikak then fell off. Similar here, with the moment the wife gives herself to the husband, so immediately it's like forfeiting her right. Ji.
Zawja majnun ke mahar wa iddat ka hukam. Mahar wa iddat ka ye hukam hai ki agar fasl nikah khalwat sahiha se qabl hua hai, tab to mahar bilkul saqit ho jayega aur iddat ki bhi zarurat nahi. Aur agar aib junoon aur agar aib junoon maloom hone se pehle khalwat sahiha ho chuki thi, baad aza aib junoon hone par fasl nikah ki naubat aayi, to pura mahar lazim rahega aur iddat bhi wajib hogi.
Albatta ye hai that wo majnoon hai, then the way is going to give the mehr to. Chalo bhai ji.
Tambih hai zaruri. عبارت مذکورہ میں لفظ وجدت سے معلوم ہوا کہ یہ حکم زوجہ مجنون کے نکاح کو فسخ کرنے کا امام محمد رحمۃ اللہ علیہ کے نزدیک اس صورت میں ہے جبکہ جنون نکاح سے پیشتر موجود تھا.
Yeah. So that he was in a state of insanity before nikah. Another thing is very important. I always tell the people, if there's any defect in the husband or the wife before getting the marriage, then it is nice to divulge all that so that they maintain trust between the spouses.
جنون حادث بعد العقد حکم. اور جو جنون عقد نکاح کے بعد پیدا ہو گیا ہو, اس کے متعلق امام محمد رحمۃ اللہ علیہ سے کوئی تصریح نہیں ملی, لیکن مالکیہ کے مذہب میں اس کے متعلق تصریح ہے.
Still she have the right. جی.
لیکن مالکیہ کے مذہب میں اس کے متعلق تصریح ہے کہ اگر نکاح کے بعد جنون ہو جائے تب بھی عورت کو علیحدگی کا اختیار ہے.
جی. Because it defeats the مقصد of the nikah in any way. جی.
مگر ان کے نزدیک بھی شرط یہ ہے کہ جنون موجب للفس قائل ہو جانے کے بعد زوجہ نے اپنے اختیار و رضامندی سے شوہر کو جمع یا دواعی جمع یعنی تقبیر و لمس وغیرہ کا موقع نہ دیا ہو, کیونکہ اگر اس نے ایسا کر لیا تو یہ عملی رضا ہو گئی, جس کی وجہ سے اس کا اختیار ساقط ہو جاتا ہے, جیسا کہ زبان سے رضا کی تصریح کر دینا اختیار کو ساقط کرتا ہے.
Carry on. جی.
تنبیہ. اس شرط مذکور میں اختیار کی قید لگانے سے یہ معلوم ہو گیا کہ اگر مجنون نے بجبر و اکراہ ہم بستری کر لی تو اس سے عورت
کا because an insane person and it's hard to control him, in that case that it was like she didn't give the makkun to him.
اگر مجنون نے بجبر و اکراہ ہم بستری کر لی تو اس سے عورت کا حق خیال ساقط نہ ہوگا. چنانچہ عبارت مذکورہ میں مکنت کا لفظ اس پر صراحتاً دال ہے. نیز جنون کے ساتھ موجب الفس کی قید سے یہ بات معلوم ہو گئی کہ اگر ابتدائی جنون کے زمانے میں قبل اس کے کہ وہ اس حد کو پہنچے جس سے حق فس حاصل ہوتا ہے, جمع یا دوائی جمع کا محقق ہوا اور بعد میں جنون بھر کر حد مذکور پر پہنچ گیا, تو اس صورت میں بھی خیار فسخ ساقط نہیں ہو جاتا, جیسا کہ عبارت مذکورہ میں عالمًا بہ کی قید سے ظاہر ہے.
جی.
اور منتقا کی اس عبارت سے یہ بھی معلوم ہو گیا کہ مہر کا حکم جنون حادث بعد العقد میں بھی وہی ہے جو جنون قدیم میں, یعنی اگر خلوت صحیحہ سے قبل تفریق ہوئی ہے تو مہر بالکل ساقط ہو گیا, اور اگر بعد میں خلوت ہوئی ہے تو پورا مہر واجب ہے. اور عدت کا یہ حکم ہے کہ تفریق قبل الخلوت میں واجب نہیں ہوتی اور بعد الخلوت میں واجب ہوتی ہے. اب صرف ایک سوال باقی رہا کہ یہ تفریق جو جنون حادث بعد العقد کی وجہ سے ہوتی ہے فسخ ہے یا طلاق؟ اس بارے میں علامہ خلیل اور شارح دردیر نے تو رد کا لفظ استعمال کیا ہے جو بظاہر فسخ کا مرادف ہے, اور منتقا کی عبارت مذکورہ میں طلاق کا لفظ ہے. لہذا بوقت ضرورت علماء مالکیہ سے تحقیق کر لیا جائے, اور جب تک تحقیق نہ ہو اس تفریق کو طلاق قرار دینا چاہیے.
Only one somebody will have an objection, that means the husband can make rujoo, but here we are talking in the context of husband being majnoon.
اور جب تک تحقیق نہ ہو اس تفریق کو طلاق قرار دینا چاہیے کہ اس میں احتیاط ہے, اور ثمرہ طلاق ہونے کا یہ ہے کہ اگر اس عورت سے دوبارہ نکاح ہو جائے تو خاوند کو صرف دو طلاق کا اختیار ملے گا, دو طلاق اور دے دی تو طلاق مغلظہ ہو جائے گی.
Carry on. جی.
مجنون میں شرائط تفریق.
Now you know when you're dealing with a case, sometimes the challenge is you can see this nikah is not going to work, all the factors are pointing towards that point, no, this thing definitely is not going to work. But we're just having a challenge. We are looking for a ground for fasakh. And we can't find the ground. And if a woman has to make application based on junoon, and in that particular majlis, the husband pitched up, and he spoke like a perfectly normal person, but other times it's abnormal. What do we do in that kind of situation? So, look for, you try to look for other ways how we can find ground for first. In this case, this is what Hazrat Maulana Shafiq al-Thani allude to, in a situation like this, generally a man is unable to work, so he is unable to provide nafqa. So we look for that grounds.
مجنون میں شرائط تفریق نہ ہونے کی صورت میں ایک گنجائش. فائدہ: زوجہ مجنون کے فسخ نکاح کے لیے جو شرائط اوپر مذکور ہوئے ہیں اگر وہ شرائط کسی جگہ موجود نہ ہوں تو بنابر جنون تفریق نہیں ہو سکتی، لیکن اگر یہ مجنون کوئی ذریعہ آمدنی نہ رکھتا ہو اور زوجہ کے لیے اپنے نفقہ کی کوئی دوسری سبیل بھی نہیں تو ایسی صورت میں مفتی کے لیے عورت کے استقرار کی پوری تحقیق ہو جانے اور چند علماء سے مشورہ کے بعد اس فتویٰ کی گنجائش ہے کہ مذہب مالکیہ کے بنا پر عدم نفقہ کی وجہ سے قاضی یا اس کا قائم مقام ان دونوں میں تفریق کر دے اور یہ تفریق طلاق رجعی کے حکم میں ہوگی. لیکن اس میں کامل تدبر سے کام لے کر مذہب مالکیہ کی تمام شرائط کی پابندی ضروری ہے، جن میں سے ایک شرط یہ بھی ہے کہ عدم نفقہ کی وجہ سے فسخ نکاح کا حکم اس وقت دیا جا سکتا ہے جبکہ عقد نکاح سے پہلے اس کو خاوند کے فقیر و نادار ہونے کا علم نہ ہو، ورنہ اگر ناداری کا علم ہوتے ہوئے عقد نکاح کیا گیا ہے تو بوجہ عدم نفقہ کے اس کو مطالبہ تفریق کا حق نہ ہوگا. اور باقی شرائط میں اس مسئلہ کی بے وقت ضرورت کتب مالکیہ کی مراجعات سے معلوم ہو سکتی ہے، جن کا نام دیپاجہ میں گزر چکا ہے. فقط اللہ اعلم و علم اتم و احکم.
We completed this point. Inshallah, we'll continue tomorrow. Tomorrow, normally we have on the Monday to Thursday, but I want to complete this kitab and I've got limited time. So tomorrow afternoon, 3:30, we'll still have a dars, inshallah. Subhanallah, bihamdi, subhanak Allahumma, bihamdik, nashadu la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.
In the case of junoon, where you said that you're still giving one year, so if the junoon is such that she says she fears violence from it, in that 1 year, where would she stay? With him or someone else?
So, definitely, from the general masail, when a woman fears the threat on her life, on her, this thing, she can separate from the house.